Praise God, but God's good. I'd like to read Philippians chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless His word to our hearts. As John mentioned last time when I spoke on prayer, it was the first of a little series I did in Berkeley, and we talked about prayer as a means of entering into the presence of God. And that time we talked about the fact that that kind of prayer, like an intentional prayer, when we deliberately choose to spend time in prayer and waiting upon God, we enter into the presence of God. And that's a very, very important part, of course, of our Christian life. Not just for ourselves, but we saw also then that when we spend time in the presence of God, we carry something of the presence of God with us, even when we leave that place. There's still a residue, there's still something, like Moses, his face shone when he left the top of the mountain. Tonight, I want to talk about prayer as an antidote to anxiety. An antidote to anxiety. I want to say two things by way of introduction. I'm sure everybody here knows what an antidote is, but in case you don't, an antidote is something good which counteracts the effects of something bad. If you get bitten by a venomous snake and you get to the hospital in time, they can usually give you an antidote that will cancel the effects of the poison from the snake. And so, prayer is an antidote to anxiety. That's what Paul said here. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The second thing that I want to say by way of introduction is to define what I mean by anxiety in this context. The Greek word translated here is the word merimneo. It really means to be distracted by something. And it comes in a verb form as here, to be anxious. It is also in the form of a noun translated anxiety. So merimneo, to be distracted. Do you remember the story of when Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house? I think he probably turned up a little unexpectedly, and Martha got herself in a bit of tizzy, and in the Authorized Version it says Martha was distracted by much serving. That's the word. She got herself all anxious and uptight because of Jesus had arrived, and you know there's all this work to be done. So it's translated to be anxious, or the noun form anxiety. In modern translations, it is normally translated to be anxious or to worry, but in the older translations like the AV, the word is translated to be careful. This verse in the Authorized Version that many of you will remember says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now that word careful is one of these words that has changed its meaning over the years. In 1611, when the Authorized Version was first printed, to be careful meant literally to be full of care, which was meant to be anxious. Nowadays, we usually mean to be careful is to take extra care about something. So that translation actually is one of those words that has changed. There is, however, a more positive use of this word in the New Testament, and that is used by Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28, where he says, besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Here the word is translated concern. Now that is a positive use of the word, because we should be people who are concerned about things, but we shouldn't be over anxious. We should be concerned about ourselves, our families, our church, our nation. We should have a concern for all those things. So that's a legitimate concern. And it's important that we should have that. But that legitimate concern is totally different from the debilitating effect of anxiety and worry, which can rob us of our joy and our peace. Nowadays, we probably talk more about stress than we do about anxiety. Now, stress and anxiety are quite closely linked, quite similar, but they're not the same, because stress is normally has a tangible cause. Like, for example, somebody gets stressed out at work because they're having more and more pressure put on them. But if they get out of that situation, get out of that work situation, normally the stress will go away and they return to normal. Now, anxiety is different, because it hasn't got a tangible cause, because this kind of anxiety is not about things that are actually happening to us, but it's about things that might happen or could happen. And the devil loves to pile those kind of thoughts into our minds. Things that not have happened or are happening, but things that might happen, could happen, maybe it'll happen. Like, what shall I do if I lose my partner, if I lose my job, or if I lose my health? What if, what if, what if? The list can go on and on and on. It's not about things that are happening, but things that possibly might, and in reality, usually don't. But when we start thinking like that and getting anxious about that, that's where the devil loves to get us into that kind of place, because it robs us of our joy and our peace, and it really greatly reduces our effectiveness. Instead of being full of the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, then we can get anxious about all sorts of things. So that's the kind of anxiety we're talking about here, and prayer is a perfect antidote for anxiety. Now, having said all that, it's not always easy to give our anxieties to Jesus, because some of us are simply more susceptible to anxiety than others. Nothing to do with our spirituality, it's just more to do with our temperament and the kind of person we are. Some people are just like that. They worry if they haven't got anything to worry about. thank God, I'm not one of those people. I never have been, and I'm grateful to God for that. But I've known friends, and they really struggle with that, because it seems the enemy is able to dog their lives with anxiety. And they really struggle. And it's not because they're unspiritual people, it's just because of the particular temperament that they have. Somebody has rightly said that today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. And the devil loves to get us worrying about things which may never happen, because in that way, I said a moment ago, he can rob us of our peace and greatly hinder our usefulness. So the kind of anxiety we're talking about today is the kind of unnecessary worry and anxiety that robs us of peace and joy. Now, the reason prayer is an antidote for anxiety is because it links us to our Heavenly Father, who cares for us. And in Matthew's Gospel, we have a number of stories which illustrate this. And I just want to read a little bit from Matthew chapter 6, which I'm sure you'll all be familiar with, is part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said to his disciples, in Matthew 6 and verse 25, he said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Very profound. Don't worry. Jesus is very strong in saying to his disciples that they shouldn't worry about these things, that they're heavenly, because your heavenly Father knows that you need food to eat and clothes to wear and somewhere to live. The basic necessities of life. He knows that. And so the antidote to worry is the fact that we have a heavenly Father who loves us, who's watching over us, and he knows what we need. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. I remember when we were children, in our house, in the spare room, on the mantelpiece, we had a little text in a frame. You know, in those days, they had little texts in frames. And the little, it wasn't a Bible text, it was a poem, and it said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why those anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. We love that. I think that's a lovely little poem. If he looks after the birds, Jesus said, if he feeds the birds, will he not much more look after you? And also, I remember when I was a kid, fairly young, I remember I always felt more secure at home at night, especially in the winter time, in the long night. I always felt more secure when my dad was at home. You know, sometimes he would be away at work or out working late or something, and we would be in bed before he would get home. And I always found it difficult to get to sleep until I knew my dad was home. And when I heard the car or the lorry come up the drive and heard his voice downstairs, he was bolt the door, I could, dad's home. I could relax because my father, I knew my father, even though I had older brothers and my mum, and you know, but just there was a security in knowing that he was there. And I'm sure many of us have similar situations, trustfully. You know, there are people today especially who don't have a good relationship or a good recollection of a father who loved them and cared for them, but I'm sure most of us here do. I also remember sometimes in the winter time we would have to go and fetch water from the well along the road. And I didn't like that in the dark, because even though I knew the road really, really well, I knew every tree because we went there every day almost, but at night it was different. You know, the trees against the sky, they looked eerie, and every noise in the bushes, you know, made me feel, you know, there might be a rabbit or a rat or something scurrying around. What was that? But sometimes my dad would come with me, and I was never afraid when he was there, even though it was still the same road, still the same dark, still the same noises, but it didn't bother me. You see, we have a heavenly Father who cares for us. Now, of course, no human father is fully perfect, but our heavenly Father is. And even if you haven't had good experience of a father who gave you security, you have a heavenly Father who can and does and will. In Matthew 11, those 28 to 30, we have those, the very well-known verses where Jesus says to his hearers, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the word translated there, burdened, is this word, merimneo. Burden is light. The Authorized translates it, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I like that because of the picture it paints. We don't use the term laden nowadays, except in one context. We talk about a ship being heavy laden. That is, it's loaded sort of to its maximum safe load, or maybe even beyond. It's riding low in the water. A boat that's heavy laden doesn't normally sink, but it's more vulnerable because it's low in the water, a big wave could come and swamp it. So heavy laden, all you who are burdened, all you who are riding low on the water at the minute, come to me and I will give you rest. I love what Jesus says. Then in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now the yoke, as you know, was the wooden harness that hooked or held two oxen together so that together they could pull a plow or a cart or something like that. And what Jesus was really saying there, he says, "Harness yourself to me and I will carry your burden for you. Harness yourself to me and I will carry your burden." Again, going back to, you know, I think it's a sign of old age when you start talking a lot about childhood. Probably is. We can all relate to that. But, you know, I remember sometimes when our kids were small, or even when I was small, you know, sometimes a kid, if your dad was doing something, the kids would want to help. So he might be carrying a big pole or something like that, and we would insist on helping. Now, he would let us help, but we would just carry, you know, a little bit. He was really still carrying the weight. He carried it all, but we thought we were helping. We thought we were carrying something. And it's the same with that. Jesus will carry all the weight. "Come to me, I will bear, take my yoke, harness yourself to me." He says, "I'll carry your load for you. You don't have to carry it on your own." So we carry our burdens. "Cast all your anxiety upon him," Peter says, "because he cares for you." So how do we cast our care upon Jesus or take his yoke upon us? Well, we simply do that through prayer and by bringing everything to God in prayer. Now that's actually easier said than done, because often we bring our cares and our anxieties to Jesus, but we take them home again rather than leaving them with Jesus. That's a natural thing. We used to sing an old song that some of you here I'm sure will remember. "Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there." The key is leaving it there. We often take it and we take it home again. And sometimes we have to bring the same thing to the Lord, maybe a dozen times to the day, and say, "Lord, I'm giving this back to you. I'm not going to worry. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you." Again, my dad used to tell the story of two neighbors. They were Irish, of course. Paddy was walking along the road carrying a sack of potatoes on his back when he was overtaken by his neighbor Mick in a horse and cart. So Mick says to Paddy, he says, "Paddy,
jump up on the back of the cart and I'll give you a lift. Paddy says, oh, thanks very much. That makes that very kind of you. So he gets up and sits in the back of the cart, and they're going along the road, and Mick looks round and Paddy is still carrying the sack of potatoes on his back. And so Mick says, Paddy, why don't you put the spuds down in the cart? He says, there's no point in you carrying it. Oh, he says, Mick, it's very grateful, very good of you to give me a lift, he says, without asking the horse to carry the spuds as well. Didn't make any difference to the horse whether he had them on his back or in the cart. But you know, the Lord is willing and able to carry our burden. And there's no point in us carrying it too, but we have to keep giving it to him. And as I said, sometimes you have to give it again and again and keep saying, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving it to you again. I'm giving it to you. I'm asking you to carry this, and I'm not going to carry it myself. So which anxieties should we cast on Jesus? The simple answer is all of them. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, let your requests be made known to God. Peter says, cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. There is nothing too big or too small to bring to Jesus. Going back to the things Jesus said about worry in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus himself never worried. He had a busy life, and at times, such as in the Garden of Gethsemane, we know he was under great stress. But he never was given to worry, because in one place he says he always knew what the Father wanted him to do, and he just did that. See, we often heap things upon ourselves and carry stuff that we're never meant to carry in the first place, you know, because we take on board things that God hasn't given us to carry. Because if God has given it to us to carry it, he'll give us grace to do that. But when we take on board things, sometimes even our friends or people with the best intentions can put stuff on us that we carry, and we haven't got the grace to do it. Jesus wasn't like that. He only did what he saw the Father doing it, and he was able to live and move without anxiety. He was stressed in the garden, but that was because of what was happening to him and what he knew was ahead. But he didn't carry worry. He didn't carry anxiety. He was able to resist the demands of many people to do things that they wanted him to do. Often people said to him, stay here, stay here. Jesus said, no, I've got to go on yonder. Or some were saying, don't go here. Jesus said, I've got to do what the Father has. He always knew what the Father wanted him to do. Now, none of us will be as good at that, at knowing always what the Father wants us to do. Often we are sort of, Lord, is it this what you want me to do, or is it not? You know, there's always an element of doubt in there. But casting all your care upon him, because he careth for you. But we have to keep going it, keep casting it on him, and know when to say no. Sometimes even the 12 disciples were concerned about the decisions that Jesus made. For example, when he heard that his friend Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 days longer where he was before he set out for Bethany. And when he did set out, his disciples tried to persuade him not to go because they were afraid of what might happen to him. But Jesus was serene and peaceful because he knew that he was simply doing what the Father wanted him to do. So he said, no, I'm going. That's at the right time. He was going because he always knew what the Father wanted him to do. So we bring everything to God in prayer. I was going to call this sort of little talk everyday praying, because it's probably the most frequent kind of praying that we do. I'm sure that most of us Do set some time aside each day when we deliberately spend time with God in prayer. That's the kind of prayer we were talking about last time. Intentional. You know, you set time aside, I'm going to spend time with God. But that's not the only time we pray. You know, I do that normally in the morning after breakfast, but I pray dozens of times in the day. Yeah. If I'm doing a job around the house and a bit tricky, I say, Lord, help me to get this right. And one of my most frequent prayers, which I pray probably at least every day, when I lose my glasses or my car keys, then, Lord, help me to find them. When I'm going out in the car, Lord, protect us, keep us safe. Yes. You know, that's natural, that's perfectly right. We're bringing everything Amen. To God in prayer. Everything. You know, it doesn't have to be the very big, big, big things. Looking back on my life, I think, you know, there's not many things I would change if I had my life to live over again, but there would be some. Because, you know, on the big decisions, I prayed a lot. But it was on the little decisions, sort of, where I thought, oh, I can sort that out. I don't need to ask God's help on this or God's wisdom on that. And that's where I tended to get things wrong. Yes. You see, but we bring everything to God in prayer. Amen. As you know, our boys are grown up now. Both of them are dads in their own right. But I remember that when they were very small, that they were constantly asking mum or dad for help. Like it was, Dad, can you help me to put my socks on? Dad, can you tie my shoelaces? Dad, can you do up my buttons or my zip? And then a little later it was, Dad, can you mend my skateboard or can you fix my bike? You know, or there was nothing. There was nothing that they wouldn't ask for because it was just natural. You know, to ask mum or dad for help, and we always responded to help them. They still ask occasionally for help. They still will ring up and, Dad, can you help me with this or can you do that? But the sort of wheel has turned around the other way now. It's more like me ringing up, son, can you sort out my computer? Or can you help me to get this mobile phone fixed? And you know, the thing goes full circle. You see, you know, when our kids are small, we're the parents, they depend a lot on us. And then the wheel goes right around where we start being more dependent on them. When we get to the stage where they get to the stage where they probably know more than we do. Now, that will never happen with our Heavenly Father. We will never get to the stage with our Heavenly Father where we know as much as He does. It'll always be the father-child relationship. He will always know the right thing to do and the right way to do it. He will always know what's best. We will never get to the point where we say, I don't need your help, Lord. I can do this myself. So that we bring everything to God in prayer. When our Ellie, that's our granddaughter, was little, very little, you know, before she could talk properly, she used to come to our house very often on the weekend. She'd stay over. And she had an expression, she'd be doing something. And she would often say, Grandma or Granda, I'm duck. She hadn't learned how to pronounce stuck. So she'd say, Granda, I'm duck. I'm duck. Now, it's funny, you look back now, and she would probably be embarrassed if she heard me tell the story. But you know, we never ever failed to respond to Granda, I'm duck. You know, that's probably one of the most profound prayers we can ever pray. Yeah. Father, I'm stuck. Father, I'm stuck. I need your help. I'm stuck here, even if we can't pronounce it or do it properly, just that's enough. Yeah. Because we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us. Amen. And He's able to help us. That's the great thing. Yeah. You see, even as parents with all the love that we have for our children, sometimes there are things that we cannot do. If they're in pain, we cannot take away the pain. We can take them to the doctor or maybe do something. But There are things that we cannot do, but our Heavenly Father Amen. Is able and willing to do anything.
Thank you, Lord.
Anything. So prayer as an antidote to anxiety. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, George was talking earlier about remembering what God has done. It's always good to do that. Remember, has he ever failed you yet? Well, I don't think he's going to start now. And bringing everything to God in prayer. Amen. The Lord bless his word to our hearts. Thank you.